In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We celebrate saints so much in the Orthodox Church, and with good reason, because if you read any of their lives, you see how remarkably filled with the grace of God they are. If you've ever been around someone like this, and fortunately I have a couple of times, you feel something that is so unique in terms of your normal interactions with other people. There's a real peace about them, a calmness. I mean, the Spirit just radiates from among these people. And all the saints are like that, no matter their circumstances, no matter their category. They all brought peace to the people that were around them. They took the gifts that God offered and made them their own. And it's really an astounding thing when you could see this. And even when we utter prayers to them, we can feel this many times, that they are offering us the peace of Christ that they have taken to their heart. It's truly a wonderful thing. And all the things that we find in the church that are touched with this same sort of holiness, it's the same way. We still feel that calmness, that wonderful peace that the Lord says that only He can give, not as the world gives, but as His special gift to us. Well, in today's parable, which is taking place on this day dedicated to that parable, the Sunday of the Prodigal Son, we see that, well, first of all, I should say that in the midst of this particular parable, there are a series of others in the Gospel of Luke which also speak of the love of God for all of us. There's like four or five straight in a row. And of course, this is the greatest. This is probably the most famous parable that are in any of the Gospels. I can't think of one that is really more well-known than this one. And so we have a young man who has everything from his father, okay, just like the saints did. In this parable, he enjoys everything that his father has. All sorts of gifts of grace and peace and stable living, all of this sort of thing. But yet, it wasn't enough for him somehow. And that happens all too often with all of us. When we are enjoying situations that are calm and fruitful and peaceful, and we have all the things that we could possibly dream of having, yet, somehow we seem to want more, don't we? There's always that desire to go beyond what you have. I don't care who you are. If you're self-satisfied in your life and you've got everything you want, you're going to want more. It's almost like human nature. Even if you're Bill Gates, you're going to want more. There's always something else to do. There's something that you're seeking beyond. And that's what this particular young man did in today's parable. Although he had everything, he reached out. He wanted something different. He wanted a life that was perhaps more exciting, something that was great, something that would innervate the desires within him. And so he goes to his father and asks for his division of the property, something that the father would normally give after he had reposed, and he would divide it among his sons, and it would be in his will. But no, he wanted it now. And the father, who loved his son, would say, well, okay, I'll do it. I'll give you half. Go. Do whatever you want with it. And of course, the young man, now being freed of these constraints, of these sorts of things which are holding us all together, which are causing us to not go crazy when we go out into the world, well, he did. He went out. Spent it on all kinds of riotous living, everything that his soul desired, everything that he could possibly think of, because when the wells of sin begin to rise, they also cannot be satisfied. Never. You go on and on and on, and you think you've satisfied this desire and that and the other, and yet there's still more out there. You still want to continue on. You still want to seek that which you have not experienced yet. But that the commonality, the common denominator of all of sin is something so egregiously horrible, so soul-deadening, that you finally realize that you're caught in all of this and you can't do anything. You are paralyzed because those desires that you want, that ultimately lead to death itself, you can't go on. You can't continue in sin and sin and sin, even though you may want it. You can never satisfy that, because you find out that once you begin to eat of the pie of sin, that it all starts tasting the same, but yet you never can seem to get filled up enough with it. And this prodigal son felt the same way. He goes out there and he works and decides that he's starving. He's wasted all his money. What can he do? He has completely squandered a tremendous inheritance and doesn't know what to do. And so he even goes to work for a man feeding pigs, because he had to live somehow, but he was still starving. And so even the husks that the pigs were eating began to look good to him. Don't we know how that is? I mean, none of us probably go after the husk of pigs, but you know what it's like when you're hungry, even for a short period of time. Even those things that you don't normally gravitate towards all of a sudden start looking pretty good. Hey, that saltine cracker over there, boy, starts making your mouth water, doesn't it? Well, the same thing happened to the prodigal son. He was mouth watering over those husks. And then that wonderful line in the scriptures, he came to his senses. Now, I think we've all experienced this before, haven't we? Have you ever done anything where you're maybe on autopilot, or you're working on something and you're heading down a particular road with something, a project or with a person or something like that, and all of a sudden you stop and you say, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm going the wrong way of this. I didn't realize it, but now I am. You come to your senses. And in this case, the grace of God that was still in the prodigal, although greatly diminished because of the things that he was doing, he came to his senses and he realized the mistake that he had made. And so he repents of it. He turns around at that point. We have during the first week of Lent something, the great canon of St. Andrew of Crete. And we'll have three nights of it when it starts, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And you listen to that canon, and at first you can't really identify with it, because it talks about really how wretched we are. I've wasted my life in laziness. I have done no good thing upon the earth. I have done this. I have not done that, etc., etc. And you start thinking, well, gee, am I really that bad? But you know what? By the time you get to the end of that canon, you realize, yes, I am. Because you keep getting hit with these things over and over and over again about how you are not doing the things that you should be doing. And finally, you start realizing, well, maybe there is some truth to this. The prodigal was the same way. When he came to his senses, that was his night with the great canon of St. Andrew. That's when he realized that he was as bad as he had come to realize, and that he had known all along but didn't want to recognize it. And so he turns and he thinks, in a true repentant manner, actually, not that I'm going to go back to my father and beg him for money or ask to be taken back in or anything like that. He's saying, look, even the servants my dad had are living better than I am. And so I'm going to go back to him and I say, look, Father, accept me as one of your hired servants so that I can at least live a decent life. And what does the Father do? The Father, of course, who is our Father in heaven, who loves us all with a far greater love than we can even imagine. And I've said this many times before, imagine the greatest love of your life, whether it's a person, a thing, whatever it happens to be, something that you are just so in love with, that just fills you up, that just overwhelms your heart. Imagine that love, and then multiply it by 100 trillion, and you won't even come close to the love of God for you. And that's demonstrated in this parable. Because the Father, while he sees his son, even afar off, he's shocked by it. And he runs out to him to greet him. And the prodigal falls before him and says, look, take me out as a servant. That's fine with me. No. No. Bring all the good things out for this my son, for he is returned. He was dead, and now he's alive again. And of course, the older brother, seeing this, is not happy at all with it. The brother who was there forever, who was enjoying all these good things, who actually chose the better part to enjoy the blessings that he had, what does he say? This is a very interesting line in the gospel. He says, that son of yours, he's not even recognizing him as his own brother. That son of yours, as if he's some kind of alien or something. Look at what he's done. He's gone out, he's wasted everything. And I'm here, and you've never given me anything for a feast. And the father yet says, look, everything I've got is yours. Quit thinking in terms of yours and mine and this sort of thing. It's all here together as the family. And we have everything, and you have everything. But your brother's back, and it's right for us to celebrate because he's completely turned his life around. And that's what the church is telling us this day, my dear brothers and sisters. On this particular Sunday, only three Sundays now until the Sunday of forgiveness. 2 weeks to go. And the church is saying, it's time to turn your life around. That you have been wasting your time in idleness and laziness and not praying enough and cursing at people in traffic when you drive your car and not being friendly to your neighbors and on and on and on. And we all know what we do day in, day out. We know how we live. We know how we are not always keeping Christ in mind every single moment of our lives. We should be, but we're not. We're involved in other things, and we're not putting Him first. And the Lord is saying, it's time to return. It's time to come back. That's why the church gives us this opportunity every year. That's why we turn around now. Because the Lord Himself knows what our nature is like. He knows that we are not constant and consistent in the way that we are. And so He's established a church which allows us at least once every year to understand these things and to renew again and try to take yet maybe one small step up that ladder that goes into heaven. That's what this Sunday is all about, to turn and go back. And the beautiful thing about it is that there's very, very little required of you except to turn. If you just nudge your head a little bit towards God, He's going to be there for you. He's waiting for you with open arms, ready to give you the kingdom. But He wants you to want it. He wants you to desire it with your whole heart. And if you do this, then the rewards are going to be simply incredible. But, like the prodigal himself when he left, He's not going to hold you there. If you want to go somewhere else and do something else, if you want to live your life in sin, if you want to waste your entire life pursuing the things that you know you shouldn't, He's going to let you. And that's part of His love too, because He understands that you are His creature, created in His image, and He's going to give you what you want. But He's saying, look deep inside. Explore this greatly. Understand the things that are really important and turn back to Him. That's what you want to do. So let's take heart from this parable. God indeed is love. God indeed is waiting for all of us. He's anticipating us. He's looking from afar. He's wanting to bring us in and give us the feast of His heavenly kingdom. We just have to make that short, small step to turn and walk towards Him. Amen.